with Sam Cedar.
It is Monday, January 4th, 2021. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the five-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, Trump caught on tape leaning on Georgia election officials to give him the win for the election that happened almost 3 months ago. Meanwhile, with the federal government AWOL on vaccine distribution, it's a mess. This, as experts predict, well over 100,000 deaths in January. Meanwhile, Senate hangs in the balance with the Georgia runoff tomorrow. British judge rejects extradition of Julian Assange. Nancy Pelosi reelected Speaker of the House as progressives leverage a key rollback of the PAYGO rules. At least 12 Republican senators herald in a new era of compromise by challenging Biden's election win. Senate overrides Trump's veto. Schumer folds on the $2,000 checks. Janet Yellen, Tony Blinken slammed for buck raking before entering the Biden administration. And lastly, hundreds of Google employees decide to unionize. All this and more on today's program. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us. It is a new year. Emma, welcome. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you. It feels good to have 2020 over with, even though everything is still the same.
Exactly. That's exactly right. I was waking up hoping, I can't remember when it was, Friday morning, hoping that 2021 would feel measurably different. And sadly, no. In fact, we could be facing the worst month of the pandemic to start off 2021. We still apparently have a contentious election that is ongoing. And of course, who knows what will happen? I think we know what the outcome is going to be. The real question is going to be how the Democrats react to this. If Joe Biden continues to believe that the fever will be broken, those are Barack Obama's words, but Joe Biden, I'm paraphrasing Joe Biden, his belief that things are going to come around with the Republicans once Donald Trump is out of the way.
And he returns the soul, or restores the soul of America.
The soul of America will return as well. And so we shall see. But it is 2021. I know that you are a little disappointed because your football team, apparently, you enjoy that football.
The New York Football Giants.
The New York Football team, or one of them.
Well, you know what? It's just... You know, I've been saving since I didn't go to any Giants games this year. I'm going to buy tickets next year, obviously, because you couldn't go this year.
I hadn't contemplated that, that's got to be a substantial savings.
Yeah, well, I mean, I had StubHub gift cards that I hoarded, and I'm going to spend it all on the Eagles game so I can heckle that Doug Peterson decision to tank and cost my Giants a playoff game, which they didn't earn, but I digress.
I didn't understand anything you just said.
That's fine. You brought it up, so.
No, I know, but I understand what gift cards are, but that's about it. And we should also say, over the break, we well-timed it. We got 1 million subscribers. We reached 1 million subscribers on YouTube, and so that is encouraging.
Congrats to this whole team. I joined late. I'll take full, you know, responsibility for the 1 million subscribers, obviously.
Well,
but I guess
well
some
deserved.
Credit to you.
Well yeah. deserved. Yeah. And of course, we also are playing on the Peacock app, on the Choice channel on Peacock app. You can see us. We run at 5 p.m. and 10 p.m. and then in the wee hours of the morning, and on demand for I think going back a week. So if you miss any part of the first hour of the program, check it out on the Peacock app. And so it is the new year, and really the we had obviously a lot of things that went on over the past week, from sort of major, more expansive things involving the rollout of the vaccinations
in this country, which have been largely at this point a failure if measured against the benchmark that the government set for it, that the Trump administration set. Hopefully that will pick up. We will talk about that. We have a real problem in New York as well, New York State, and it's indicative of one of the vacuum that's created when the federal government does not have a specific plan. We will talk about that because Andrew Cuomo has basically ignored the infrastructure that exists for just these very moments because he likes to please his donors. But we will talk about that as the program progresses as well. We also, looking forward, tomorrow is a hugely consequential day for the next 2 years, the next 4 years, frankly. We have a runoff in Georgia. Kelly Loeffler, who is in a seat in a temporary basis, because, and this is actually a seat that will come up for re-election in 2 years. That's why we have two elections there. This is a special election, essentially, runoff. She is running against Raphael Warnock, the Democrat, and we have David Perdue, who is up for normal re-election in a runoff against John Ossoff. And we will dig into this a little bit more, but as the show progresses, it's very hard to determine, to read tea leaves.
Coin flips, both of them.
Both of them really more or less coin flips. There are encouraging signs, but it almost is not worth discussing.
Yeah.
Because
we've been burned so many times with these encouraging signs about, oh, look at the turnout in 2016, early turnout for Hillary Clinton.
Exactly.
Look at the turnout in this state. And what do you know? It looks like there are a lot of enthusiastic Republican Trumpy voters, too, that kind of dispel this notion that early voting tends to only help Democrats.
We know that there's younger voters who are voting, that the numbers of African-Americans who are voting are all encouraging signs in Georgia. It's also there has been a tremendous amount of dissent on the Republican side. We are going to get to the big story. Of course, Donald Trump caught on tape. It is an unbelievable hour of audio. We won't play it all, obviously, but we will talk about that. But here is Kelly Loeffler walking this tightrope. Both Loeffler and Perdue came out, had to come out in the past couple of days for $2,000 checks because it was being pushed by Ossoff and Warnock. Bernie Sanders was leading the charge on the Hill. For
after
these
$2,000, gave him this opening.
He was pushing for it. Yeah. Then Trump also basically came out for it, and Nancy Pelosi, to her credit, and I'm not necessarily very loose with providing credit for Nancy Pelosi. After it failed on unanimous consent because Republicans blocked it in the House, they had a full vote on it. They pushed it to the Senate very quickly. And we will talk about what happened to it there. But here is Kelly Loeffler trying to walk a tightrope because she can't come out in favor of anything anymore because of what's happening on the Republican side. Here she is being asked on Fox News, I believe it is, about the why she didn't vote on the National Defense Authorization vote, because there was an attempt by the Democrats, one which was abandoned at one point, to hold up this vote to force McConnell to give a vote on the $2,000 checks. Here is that clip.
A lot of people look at this race and think President Trump may have put you and Senator Perdue in a box. First, when he threatened to not sign the COVID stimulus and government funding, then he signed it. Then by after that, demanding or calling for additional direct payments, which you then supported. And then by vetoing the National Defense Bill, which you originally supported and voted for. Why didn't you vote on the veto override Friday in the Senate?
Well, look, I've stood with the president 100% of the time. He's putting America first. He's fought for our men and women in the military. He restored our strength in our Department of Defense and our national security. But look, I have to be out across this state campaigning to make sure that Georgians turn out and vote on January 5th, because none of this will matter if we don't win on the 5th. Look, Chuck Schumer has said he's going to defund our military by 25%. Raphael Warnock, John Ossoff, they would be rubber stamps for defunding the military, the police, raising taxes, ushering in government-run health care, weakening our Second Amendment rights, opposing our religious freedom. That's all on the ballot here in Georgia, January 5th. That's what I'm fighting for, is to preserve the future of our country.
Understanding the campaigning is important, and you're saying how important this election is on January 5th, but obviously Georgia is a big defense state, current and former military here, defense business here. How would you have voted had you voted on that veto override?
Well, look, I voted to support the NDAA. The bill that came out of conference was very different from what we'd been promised. So I don't know. I was here in Georgia working across the state, and I will continue to stand with our men and women in the military. Raphael Warnock will not stand for our military. He's attacked them. He said you can't serve God and serve in the military.
Right, but you would have sustained the veto, the president's veto, on the NDAA.
Look, what's at stake here is our military and our freedoms. Those are what's on the ballot right now. And I'm the daughter and granddaughter of veterans. We're the fifth largest state for veterans and active duty military here in Georgia. I have fought for our military and made sure that we get the funding we need. And we're going to continue to do that. But if we don't win on January 5th, our military will be defunded and worse.
I won't belabor it, but that's not a yes or no whether you would sustain the veto or not.
That's right.
Okay, you're not answering that. Listen, Senator Joe Manchin.
I like that. I like that. That was the one moment she's ever appeared human on television.
That, I mean, up until that moment, I was going to say she should be moonlighting, teaching a learning annex class on how not to answer a question at all.
Very useful skill for politicians. She could actually, if she loses to Raphael Warnock, that can be her new full-time gig on the side of enriching herself through her stock portfolio through questionable, dubious legal means, obviously.
I got to think her advisor, she walks off the set and her advisor going like, you had it until the last second. Why didn't you just say like, oh, Brett, or something like that, rather than, yes, I'm not going to answer the question. I'm definitely not going to take a position on that after all that time. Now, I want to know what happens. What's worse in her mind than defunding the military? Like, is Raphael Warnock saying that he's going to, like, what's he, like, he's going to not only defund the military.
He's going to defund the police first and then defund the military.
But she said, like, defund, I guess maybe, like, I don't know, maybe like, making them all, become Antifa or something like that.
Well, you know who just tried to defund the military was Donald Trump.
Well, Donald Trump did
who
indeed.
That's, vetoed the NDAA.
Or worse.
You know, it was ostensibly trying to get those $2,000 checks, which he completely gave up on very quickly. But I was sort of in favor of that until Democrats joined with Republicans to override it, with the exception of, you know, Ed Markey, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, et cetera.
There was a couple others who joined in that. And to be fair, also, he wanted Section 230 repealed of the Digital Millennium Act. And he wanted none of the bases that have been named after the secessionists in the Civil War, he wanted them to be renamed renamed as they were before. But so that's where he is. And well, I should also say one other note. Kelly Loeffler read off a list of things that the Democrats are going to do if mm-hmm. they take the Senate, which included, you know, government-run health care, checks for everybody. I mean, the list went on and on. And I have to say, whatever world Kelly Loeffler is living in, that's the one that I want to move to. That America sounds quite good to me.
Look, she's caught in a completely unenviable position, if you feel sympathy for her, between McConnell and Trump. I know, I don't either. But McConnell's really the one who is responsible for the fact that we don't have these $2,000 checks. And she can't say that because, you know, she's a part of his caucus. But that's really where she's at. So she can't take a position either way, because then she's caught between these two leaders of the Republican Party. one who's leaving, one who resonates with the base, and the one who's the actual kingmaker and puppet master behind the scenes.
It's going to be fascinating to see if her strategy of demonizing Warnock is going to prove successful. And to his credit, the moment, literally, I think the next day after he realized they were going to a runoff after the election, he put out an ad saying, get ready for it, because she's going to throw the kitchen sink at me, because she's not running on anything. She can't even answer a simple basic question on Fox. Listen, when you're a Republican politician and you're on Fox and you get hung up like that, you know you've got a problem.
She's supremely untalented as a politician on top of the general corruption and moral vacuousness.
She's very good at picking stocks, though, if she has inside information.
That she's talented at. I mean, her software has been updated.
That's right. Folks, you probably know that Liquid IV, we've talked about it quite a bit in the studio. I don't know how we're doing on Liquid IV here. I got my my matcha is there. And this is what...
I can't see through our plastic divider.
Oh, that's right. I got the bag up there. Liquid IV's energy multiplier is an absolute game changer. It gives you a little extra boost that we all need, and it hydrates you. One stick is like drinking two cups of coffee, and it's all natural alternative to processed energy drinks for a sustained energy boost throughout the day. You've seen me drink this. You've seen me drink it almost every single day during COVID in particular.
I'm always paying attention to your hydration.
Exactly.
Gotta make sure Sam's energy levels.
But my favorite of the Liquid IVs, although I have to say that there's one or two flavors that came out that were like special. I can't remember what they were, but my go-to is the matcha and green energy blend. It tastes delicious. It provides me that energy boost. Liquid IV's got cellular transport technology. It delivers the optimal ratio of nutrients for more efficient uptake. Enhanced rapid absorption into the bloodstream gives you lasting energy boost fast. Over the course of vacation, I'm not going to lie, did indulge in stuff that would dehydrate you, liquor, in many instances.
Yeah, like tried how you specify.
I don't want to be specific, but it was an alcoholic beverage. Every morning, the way I get up, you know, coffee will dehydrate you. This, you get your energy boost and it hydrates you. That's for me what I like the best. I mean, when I flew, I haven't flown in a while, but when I fly, when I overindulge, or when I need a pick me up in the morning, it's Liquid IV for me. I love it. I give it out it's not a great gift. I mean, it's not like something, but you know, it's like a little stocking stuffer. Right now you can grab your energy Liquid IV in bulk nationwide at Costco, or you can get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com. Use the promo code majority rep, not majority report, majority rep at checkout. That's 25% off anything when you use the promo code majority rep at liquidiv.com. Start fueling your adventures today at liquidiv.com. Promo code majority rep. I am now almost fully Brooklynized. Like every sheet in the house, my kids' sheets, I am still like a couple of like big pillowcases short.
Brooklynized?
Yeah, Brooklynized. That's what I call it.
Oh, I think you said Brooklynized. I was like, that is where we are.
That is where we are. I think that's actually where Brooklinen is. I know that you...
I have Brooklinen.
You do?
I do.
Oh, all right, there you go.
I got it as a birthday gift.
Boom. Well, you may not know this, but Brooklinen was started by Rich and Vicky, I think from Brooklyn. They also tried to find beautiful home essentials that didn't cost an arm and a leg. And when they couldn't, they founded Brooklinen as the first to direct consumer bedding company. They have a variety of sheets, colors, and patterns, materials to fit your taste and needs. They got like the classic, which is the one I like, the sort of like, it's like the cotton crisp sheets. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite. But they also have the more sort of luxury, like not luxury, but softer version, which I don't like. I like the crisper, cooler sheets. Mm. But other people like the others, but that's why they got both.
I don't know which one I have, but I love them.
Brooklinen has over 50,000 five-star reviews and counting. They're so confident you're going to love their products. They even offer a 365-day money-back guarantee. I've got comforters from them now. I've got towels. I've got bath mat. That bath mat is actually
a good bath mat.
Yeah, you know, you don't really think about it until you get a good one, and then you're like, "This feels good." I get out of the shower.
It doesn't mold or anything like that.
No,
these things
no.
can become. Yeah.
What are you doing with your bath mats?
No, I'm not doing anything with them. But I bought cheap ones, and you notice the difference. I don't have a Brooklinen one yet.
You got to get them because it feels very nice under your feet, anyways. But it's 2021. Do something nice for yourself. Start the new year. Help you do that. Brooklinen has a special offer. You go to brooklinen.com, use the promo code majority. You get $25 off when you spend $100 or more, plus free shipping. That's Brooklinen, BROOKLINEN.com. Enter promo code majority. Get $25 off when you spend more than $100, plus you get free shipping. Brooklinen.com, use promo code majority at checkout. Lastly, 2021, I made this decision like a couple of years ago anyways, I think, where it's just like, I am buying less, but making sure I love it. And that's what I'm doing with my socks now too. I used to go and I would like go get like, oh, I can get 400 pairs of socks, $15.
Yeah.
But then within a week, I've got holes in them and they're not good. And they just, and I mentioned this to Brendan when I got these socks and he was like, I love those. I've never heard anybody love socks, but there's a reason. Runners worldwide have made Features their sock of choice. And now you can get the same benefits, especially tailored for just walking around, for going on the golf course, for whatever it is you do. Features Elite Golf Socks keeps your feet cool, dry, and blister free, providing a custom-like fit that won't bunch or slip during your backswing. They have targeted compression, hugs the arch of your foot, keeping the sock in place. They have anatomical design. It conforms. You ready for this? They're left and right socks. They're labeled.
Oh, wow.
Yes. I thought it would be a weird thing, but it's not. You actually feel the difference. It gives you a custom-like fit. It reduces discomfort, reduces blisters, helps you enhance your golf game if that's what you're looking to do. But for me, when I'm walking to work, I feel it. I feel the difference. If at any point you're unsatisfied, you can get a replacement pair, no questions asked. It has changed. I've been walking quite a bit, obviously, during COVID, and I feel the difference. You wouldn't think you do, but you do. And I don't know, Brendan, you're big on them for running. Brendan's a big runner. Feature socks will change how you feel about socks forever. Trust me on this. And you can get $10 off your first pair of Features when you use the code majority at features.com. That's Features, FEETURES.com. Promo code majority for $10 off your first pair of Features. Check it out, folks.
Nice.
All right. So let's jump into this really stunning audio tape. Now, there is plenty of reason to believe that what Donald Trump does here is illegal, that it is an abuse of power.
Certainly seems illegal.
And there was a piece in the New York Times that basically there is a belief amongst our elite, for whatever reason. We saw this with Barack Obama when he came into office. And he said, we need to turn the page. The idea that you would not pursue, you could impeach Donald Trump after the fact. You could try and bring charges against him. You could do a criminal investigation and put out a report that at the very least and provide some sanctions here. The people around him who were involved, which in many respects, I think may be even more important, because nothing Donald Trump has done over the course of the 4 years that has been criminal or abuse of power or whatever could have been done without the help of enablers, people working in the White House, people working in Congress, people working in senators. None of this could be done without them. And in sending a message that if you're around the president and they're doing something that is illegal, that you can't get that you will not escape punishment, can't have the same level of efficacy, in my mind, as punishing the president. and they should.
But unfortunately, the issue with that is that they feel like it will be used against them in retribution the next time the next party is in power. I mean, that is what prevents them from actually holding the powerful to account in these instances.
Potentially, or maybe they don't want, to be held to account themselves, right? Or maybe they don't want the distraction. But the idea that this is a distraction, there is a reason. You can go back and look at the pardons that took place in Watergate, and you can just follow a pattern into Iran-Contra, to the savings and loans crisis. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And the reason why is because every time somebody crosses a line and is not punished in any way, the next person, that line is already crossed. They just find another line that they can cross.
And it culminates in the president who says, I could shoot someone in the middle of Fifth Avenue and get away with it. And just then also did a bunch of allegedly illegal things while in office. I mean, he was brazenly against the law and in violation of it. And the American people didn't care because past presidents had gotten away with so much.
Now, this is an hour-long tape that was made, I believe. I mean, it's unclear who made the tape, but the Washington Post obtained it very quickly after it happened. it seems like within hours. And there was a tweet between Donald Trump and Brett Raffensperger, who is the Secretary of State in Georgia, where Donald Trump characterized what Raffensperger said. And Raffensperger did a quote tweet where he said and commented saying, that's not what was said on the phone call. The truth will come out. Now, maybe he was just talking generally, or maybe he knew specifically. We don't know where the audio tape was developed. As far as I know, more than likely it came out of Raffensperger's office and it was released.
It only benefits him and his team.
Exactly. And here is a compilation. It's a little bit long, but it's a compilation of some of the greatest hits. On the phone is Raffensperger and his lawyer, Ryan Germany. At one point, Donald Trump says, Ryan may be a good lawyer, and he's got a great last name, which was just a weird...
Because they were discussing the Dominion... Germany conspiracies theory by Sidney Powell. So like it all ties together, man. Raffensperger blocking Trump from overturning the election results in Georgia, and his lawyer has the same last name as the country that changed the election results via Dominion.
And also on the call, I don't know if we hear her, and this is Cleta Mitchell. She is one of the attorneys working on, I guess, the Trump steal the election program. I'm not sure exactly what they call it in the White House, but here is now, let me just be clear. I can give you an overall view of what the call was. It's an hour long. I guess you could listen to it if you really wanted. I mean, it starts off. He's just bat crap crazy. Like he's just rambling for, I don't know. It feels like 25 minutes. Without letting anybody else speak. And he's just going on and on. It's like literally he's just regurgitating everything he heard on OWN on WorldNet Daily or whatever it is. And then Raffensperger comes in and says, well, you know, Mr. President, I've heard everything you said, and I'm sorry, but none of that is true. And then after they start to refute or say that they've examined specific things he brings up, he shifts, and I think most of these clips are from that. He shifts to something that's more, the argument is no longer he's arguing why there has been something stolen. The argument just becomes why they should help him. Here we go. Let's play this.
Based on all of this, and there's nothing wrong with saying that, Brad. You know, I mean, the people of Georgia are angry. And these numbers are going to be repeated on Monday night, along with others that we're going to have by that time, which are much more substantial even. And the people of Georgia are angry. The people of the country are angry. And there's nothing wrong with saying that, you know, that you've recalculated.
Well, Mr. President, the challenge that you have.
Just make it clear. What he's saying, to Raffensperger is, I'm coming there Monday night. That's tonight. I'm doing a rally. I'm going to repeat everything I've told you. So this has moved. Now, look, a rally has nothing to do with an argument that the election has been stolen. Unless you are saying, look, I'm going to come there and I'm going to put you in political peril. I'm going to repeat these numbers and you're going to look bad if you don't do anything about this. See, the nature of the conversation has changed now. This is when we start getting into Donald Trump has spent the first 25 minutes as Professor Trump, where he's explaining all these theories about how he won the election that are honestly just bat crap crazy. But then he moves into, I can't say specifically I'm giving you an offer you can't refuse because
he's mobster Trump now.
He's mobster Trump. And the first thing that I imagine Donald Trump learned from his father was you don't put anything in writing and you assume everybody you're talking to is wired. All right, continue with this.
We've recalculated.
Well, Mr. President, the challenge that you have is the data you have is wrong.
Now, do you think it's possible that they shredded ballots in Fulton County? Because that's what the rumor is. And also that Dominion took out machines. That Dominion is really moving fast to get rid of their machinery. Do you know anything about that? Because that's illegal.
No, Ryan Germany. No, Dominion has not moved any machinery out of Fulton County. We're having
have they moved the inner parts of the machines and replaced them with other parts?
No.
You sure, Ryan?
I'm sure.
Ooh, that hurts.
The inner parts.
You just want to have an accurate election. And you're a Republican.
We believe that we do have an accurate election.
No, I know you don't. No, you don't. You don't have. Not even close. You're off by hundreds of thousands of votes. You know what they did, and you're not reporting it. That's a criminal offense. And you can't let that happen. That's a big risk to you and to Ryan, your lawyer. That's a big risk. But they are shredding ballots, in my opinion, based on what I've heard, and they are removing machinery, and they're moving it as fast as they can, both of which are criminal fines, and you can't let it happen, and you are letting it happen. I'm notifying you that you're letting it happen. So, look, all I want to do is this. I just want to find 11,780 votes, which is one more than we have, because we won the state.
Okay, now pause it for 1 second. Now, what's fascinating here is, right, he first said, like, I'm going to say these numbers at a rally. You're going to be in trouble politically because the people of Georgia are mad. Now he's shifting to like, hey, there's criminality here.
Yeah.
And you could argue you didn't know about it, but now I'm putting you on notice. Now you know there's criminality there, so you could have criminal liability, guys. And look, there's a way to get out of this criminal liability. I know I'm talking a lot about accuracy of the vote and this and that, but we don't need to count every vote. That's not important. The important thing is we know overall I won. So all we need to do is come up with one more vote than what I lost by, and then justice is served.
Yeah. I mean, it's working backwards from the I won conclusion. And like you said, he moved from you're going to have political consequences and face them from voters, which is not an illegal threat, I would think, or maybe harder to prove in court, although all of this might be hard to prove in court, to he's saying you might have legal trouble, Raffensperger, the Georgia Secretary of State, if he doesn't bend to Trump's will here. That's as close to a threat as it gets, and he keeps going.
Continue.
So tell me, Brad, what are we going to do? We won the election, and it's not fair to take it away from us like this. And it's going to be very costly. In many ways.
Yeah.
And I think you have to say that you're going to reexamine it, and you can reexamine it, but reexamine it with people that want to find answers, not people that don't want to find answers. I'm hearing Ryan, and he's probably, I'm sure, a great lawyer and everything, but he's making statements about those ballots that he doesn't know. But he's making them with such, he did make them with surety, but now I think he's less sure because the answer is they all went to Biden. And that alone wins us the election by a lot. You know, so.
Mr. President, you have people that submit information and we have our people that submit information and then it comes before the court and the court then has to make a determination. We have to stand by our numbers. We believe our numbers are right.
Well, under law, you're not allowed to give faulty election results, okay? You're not allowed to do that, and that's what you've done.
Be careful.
This is a faulty election result. And honestly, this should go very fast. You should meet tomorrow because you have a big election coming up, and because of what you've done to the president, you know, the people of Georgia know that this was a scam. And because of what you've done to the president, a lot of people aren't going out to vote. And a lot of Republicans are going to vote negative because they hate what you did to the president.
Negative.
Okay? They hate it. And they're going to vote. And if you would be respected, if really respected, if this thing could be straightened out before the election. You have a big election coming up on Tuesday.
So now we're back to the
Yeah, now we're back to, like, this is the cost you're going to pay in your own state.
This is a lot like that Ukrainian call to get dirt on Joe Biden.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is how he's behaved in his business life, his entire career. Hasn't worked out that well. Multiple bankruptcies make that obvious. But he behaves like a mobster. He behaves like a two-bit mobster.
And here's what's also sort of stunning about this, right? I mean, now this may be a little bit like, I don't know, small bore in some respect. But the president in the first half hour of the call, like he's outlining this stuff all from memory. Like he's got every conspiracy theory right at the tip of his fingers. The dude's on the phone for an hour with these people trying to cajole them in any way and probably prepped for, I don't know, days for this call in terms of how much he's consumed. He's not doing anything. He's not doing the job of the country at this point. He is 24/7 to the extent that he's not, you know, he's golfing obviously at times. But he's not presidenting in the middle of a pandemic where we have experts anticipating, and we're at 350,000 some odd dead in this country. Experts are now anticipating up to 150,000 dead within the next month. We have no federal plan to roll out this vaccination. And it is, we're 18 million vaccinations or, you know, full-on vaccinations behind where they said that we would be. And he is spending all of his time, presumably Mark Meadows is too, the chief of staff, on this
side in this call.
Yeah. I mean, it's stunning.
Yeah.
It really is stunning.
And it's also why we weren't able to get those $2,000 stimulus checks, because if Trump had been involved in the conversations from the beginning, if he had been making this known, if he had pressured McConnell and not used Mnuchin as his proxy the entire time and then had pushed for this, then there would have been pressure on Republicans to do so, but he chose to instead focus on conspiracy theorizing and disputing the election solely. And so all it did was create momentary chaos and potentially set the Republicans back in the runoffs.
And let's hope. Here is, and like we say, you know, the real point of holding Donald Trump to account for these things at this point, in my mind, is to hold to account those who have enabled him. And the Democrats have done a really, I'm sorry, horrible job at this for years. They did it with Paul Ryan, or they failed to do it with Paul Ryan. They failed to do it with Mitch McConnell in the lead up to the 2016 election. And we know because of the WikiLeaks emails we know that this was a source of controversy between the DNC and the Clinton campaign. The Clinton campaign wanted to protect Paul Ryan. They wanted to protect Paul Ryan, I suspect, because we can look to Chuck Schumer, who was bragging in October that they were going to have this infrastructure deal, October of 2016. I think the quote is something to the effect of, I've got Schumer, I've got Clinton, I've got Ryan, and we're going to do this repatriation of the taxes, the offshore federal taxes owned by corporations. That's going to come back in. That's their whole plan.
Really thinking long term.
Well, I mean, it was a calculation and a complete mistake and completely devoid of any political sense or notion or understanding of who they're opposing in some ways. And maybe also a little bit of a sense of like, we're not necessarily in that much opposition.
Or a desire to improve lives of people, right? If you're not convinced that republicanism and conservatism is the ideology that needs to be defeated, then fine. If you can get along with the guy, Paul Ryan, then that's all that matters to governing.
And they have failed to hold the enablers to account. Maybe we're going to see something better from that. I doubt it. We have just being reported right now by Erica Warner at the Washington Post, Hakeem Jeffries on a Georgia phone call. We're not looking backwards. We're looking forwards. You cannot look forwards and ignore how we got here. You can't do that. It is impossible. It is a failure. It is exactly what Barack Obama did. And I don't know how you can say this is anything but an abject failure as to where we are today. But here is one of his key enablers right after. I still remember that moment where he was so angry about Donald Trump slagging his wife. Here is Ted Cruz talking about being one of at least, I think it is 12 Republican senators who plan to vote and not certify the election results.
You're a constitutionalist. You wrote an entire book about it. What does the Constitution tell us about who decides who the president should be? What if the commission that you are explaining does form, comes back with actual evidence of fraud? Then what happens?
Well, then the results have to be set aside. If there's evidence of fraud and it's substantial and significant enough to affect the results in a particular state, then those election results would have to be set aside. And the states would then have to determine, all right, we have a valid claim here. The evidence supports it. We need to conduct elections consistent with the law. You know, the Constitution gives the responsibility of counting the ballots to the Vice President of the United States, Vice President Mike Pence, and to both houses of Congress. And the framers of the Constitution, when they assigned a task to the Congress, they knew what they were doing. You know, there's some folks who are saying this is purely a ministerial act. They just have to, you know, count them and walk out and you have no judgment whatsoever. Well, that frankly doesn't make any sense. Why would the framers give to Congress something that could be given to a clerk? The reason they gave it to Congress is they understood there are difficult determinations about what counts as a valid vote. You know, following the 1876 election, 10 years later, in 1887, Congress passed a statute, the statute that we're operating under. It's called the Electoral Count Act. And what it provides is the mechanism for raising an objection. And it says you can raise an objection if the votes were not regularly made by lawfully certified electors. And so in this instance, if you have states that are violating the law, that are committing fraud, those votes are not being regularly made, and those are not lawfully certified electors. And so that Congress's responsibility is to address these claims. I understand.
Okay. Now, IF is doing a lot of work there, because there is zero indication that condition, the if this was unlawful, that threshold has even been closed. I mean, he has no evidence as to what he's talking about. It is complete. And here's the point. Everyone knows this is BS.
Yep.
Everyone knows it's BS. And the question is how much will the Democratic Party hold these people to account? Because you cannot rely on the media to do this. The media will just keep inviting people back on. We know this. We know this over and over again.
And the media fixates on Trump and never on the Republican Party. I mean, that was the whole issue with it. So that you have to take a more holistic approach when you're trying to hold these people to account, not just about how Trump is this awful aberration, which has been a lot of the sugar high of the last 4 years for much of the mainstream media.
And look, you know, listen. I mean, the fact of the matter is, folks like Chuck Todd are getting a lot of grief right now because they keep inviting Ron Johnson back onto the show, even though the guy has shown himself to be completely a bad faith actor, completely making this stuff up as a shill.
11 Republicans.
One of the 11, I think it's 12 now, Republican senators who are going to vote to against the certification. But the fact is that you cannot expect the media let me put it this way. Based upon what we've seen of the media for years, I think in a perfect world, you could expect the media to do this, to make these assessments. But you cannot expect, knowing what we know about the media, and this is not a new phenomenon, this has been going on for at least 2 decades, and I limit it to that only because that's when I've been very, very attuned to it. You cannot expect the media to get out in front of the criticism that is leveled by the opposition party. They may do that for the Republicans, but they will not do that for the Democrats. They simply will not.
It shouldn't also be their job. I mean, I know that I have a million criticisms of the media, but the opposition party is supposed to make their case.
Exactly.
And then the media picks it up. And you know why? Partially why the media picks up the Republican critiques of the Democrats? Because they make their darn case every single time, the Republicans do. So where are the Democrats? You have to use your bully pulpit in order for whatever slim talking points they've come up with, which doesn't seem to be much of a strategy behind that either, for the media to pick it up. And there's never a strategy behind it. And it hasn't been for years.
And this insistence of moving on and not looking forward, not looking back. I'm sorry. Like, there's no way to do this in real time. There's only like the idea. We have people who have broken our laws. We have people who have broken our norms. We have people who are attacking some of the foundational aspects of our democracy. And if you use the analogy of a police officer saying, you cannot look backwards, you can only look forwards. Or if you use the analogy of a prosecutor saying, you cannot look backwards, you can only look forwards. I'm sorry. It doesn't work that way.
Well, they certainly don't adapt that philosophy when it comes to poor people, when it comes to black people in this country, when it comes to people who have less power. But for the powerful, we never, ever want to look backwards. We only want to look forwards.
Let's do it with rent.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. Exactly.
It's not just Trump supporters who would let Trump stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot someone and get away with it. It's also the Democrats who refuse to hold him to account. They impeached him over Ukraine. I get it. But when it comes to substantive issues where he basically here is trying to extort in the last story we talked about, the Georgia Secretary of State, Hakeem Jeffries, says we're not looking backwards. It's just absurd.
Speaking of those rent checks, there was an attempt by the Democrats, or I should say by some Democrats, to hold up the vote. The president had vetoed the defense authorization bill. That is why the members of the House had to come back the beginning of last week. During that time, they not only attempted with unanimous consent to pass the $2,000 checks, they ended up having suspending the process. They actually had a full-on vote. It was overwhelmingly in favor of the $2,000 checks. That sends it to the Senate. Mitch McConnell, of course, says, I'm not going to hold a vote on it. Bernie Sanders says, if you're not going to hold a vote on that, then I am going to attempt to filibuster the defense authorization veto override. And you will not get that vote until you give a vote on the $2,000 checks. Now, you needed all the Democrats unified around this. And Chuck Schumer claimed that he was. And there was a couple of other senators that were helping out. Chuck Schumer certainly paid lip service to it. However, when push came to shove, when the members of the Democratic caucus in the Senate could have obstructed the vote,
would have needed a 2/3 necessary to override, they needed 2/3 necessary to override Trump's veto and pass the NDAA, and the Democrats chose to.
Well, the real issue was in a procedural motion to move forward with the vote. Only Sanders, Markey, Merkley, Warren, Wyden, and Van Hollen voted against that. These are key. These are procedural motions that allowed you pass one, then you move on to the next one that allows essentially for you to move through the process to get past the filibuster essentially that Bernie Sanders was offering, and you get to this vote. And Chuck Schumer tweeted a good game, but when push came to shove, he basically allowed the vote to go forward. Here is Mitch McConnell going on talking about why Democrats or why the idea of a $2,000 check was useless. Now, remember, this is a guy who marshaled in one of the largest tax cuts for wealthy people in this country in the history of at least in the past 10 years.
Well, Chucks, only my friends, Speaker Pelosi and Democratic leader, could look at households in New York and California who make $300,000 in households where nobody has been laid off, where earnings did not even drop during the past year.
Pause it for one.
Conclude.
Oh, incidentally, that's a lie.
Such a lie.
These checks, the $2,000 checks, would have, you would only get money and it would be reduced. You'd only get money up to making $115,000. And you would get $5 off for every $100 above $75,000. So
you only get that full $600 for the $75,000, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
$600, you only get some money up to $87,000. For $2,000, you'd only get some money up to $115,000. So you wouldn't even get the full $2,000 up to that point. Like I say, you would get $5 off for every $100 above $75,000. So the numbers he's throwing out there, of course, are just huge lies. But continue.
Things did not even drop during the past year. And conclude, these rich constituents of theirs need, quote, survival checks financed by taxpayer dollars and borrowed money. Everyone sees the game here. These are the same Democrats who proudly blocked the entire aid package for months because they tried to hold out for special tax cuts for rich people in blue states. Now they say it's a matter of survival to send another boatload of cash to people making $300,000, regardless of whether they've experienced any disruption at all this past year. Even the liberal Washington Post today is laughing at the political left for demanding more huge giveaways with no relationship to actual need. Here's what the Washington Post wrote. Especially wrong-headed is the progressive left, spearheaded by Senator Bernie Sanders, who depicts the $2,000 as aid to desperate Americans, despite huge amounts destined for perfectly comfortable families. That's from the editors of the Washington Post. The Wall Street Journal, usually their opposite number, actually agrees. These non-targeted checks are unnecessary, and struggling households can access targeted support like expanded jobless benefits, food stamps, child care subsidies, and much more. The liberal economist Larry Summers, President Clinton's Treasury Secretary and President Obama's NEC Director, says, quote, there's no good economic argument for universal $2,000 checks at this moment. He points out the CARES Act and the brand new law will already have boosted overall household income relative to the economy back to its pre-pandemic levels, if not higher. If specific struggling households need still more help after the huge historic package that was just signed into law 4 days ago has taken effect, then what they will need is smart, targeted aid, not another fire hose of borrowed money that encompasses other people who are doing just fine.
Billions of dollars in tax cuts to wealthy people who specifically did not need that money was no problem. Billions of dollars that were loaned, billions of dollars that were coming out of the government's budget, no problem. And it is incredibly unhelpful to have economists of the ilk of Larry Summers come out and say this. I mean, the idea that, I mean, look at put it this way. The analogy is this. We have a crap show when it comes to the vaccine dissemination in this country because we have no federal guidance whatsoever. We have people like Andrew Cuomo who have decided, and each state gets to decide how this gets distributed. There's a story in the Albany Times from about a week and a half ago. It starts like this. County officials who have for years been planning for a mass vaccination said they're seeing the training and preparation, much of it funded by millions of dollars in federal grants, pushed aside as the administration of Governor Andrew Cuomo has retained control of the state's coronavirus vaccination program. And he's including having hospitals rather than local health departments administer the doses. Well, we know why that's happening, because the health industry, these hospitals, they give huge donations. So they're going to get a payday through this, whereas local places won't. There's no money there. The point being this is that you can try and target the vaccinations down to the point where Andrew Cuomo said, you know, you're going to get fined $1 million if you give it to somebody who doesn't who isn't at the top of the list. Or you can focus on getting the vaccinations out. Maybe there will be some people who get it and don't need it as desperately as somebody else does in terms of their risk assessment. But if you try and create an apparatus in a time of urgency or emergency that is going to have a one-to-one yield, you're going to end up causing far more pain and suffering than you would otherwise. So yes, there is no doubt that if you do $2,000 checks for everybody who are making, who have income less than $75,000 in this country, you're going to be giving that money to people who don't need it, in quotations.
But a rising tide lifts all boats in this case. And the fixation with means testing, like what you're talking about, it's this cult that even, you know, many Democrats have ascribed to it, like you're talking about with Andrew Cuomo, where they're so focused on tailoring these specific programs so that it doesn't help one person who might not need it, than actually disseminating what is necessary to making people, you know, be able to survive in this time. And then it doesn't help when you have Larry Summers come out there and Paul Krugman was debating
They're very comfortable, and the right. idea that there could be some waste, and it is not the best targeted mechanism for it, but in the context of an emergency, in the context of an urgency, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And it's not even a question necessarily of rising tide lifting all boats. The question is like, who would you be missing? In this instance, you are diminishing the amount of suffering. And I think the data shows that people who are making less than $75,000, their propensity to spend this money is far higher than when you look at these incredible tax cuts for wealthy people. That's the bottom line.
It goes right back into the economy because people need to spend that money. It's a way to stimulate the economy as well. And when you have guys like Krugman coming out there and Larry Summers to a lesser extent, who are taking a hatchet to the idea of $2,000 stimulus checks, you have to wonder what conversations they've had with people in the Biden administration, what conversations are happening there. I'm not saying it's some conspiracy.
I think this is just on brand for them. That's my sense.
But it's also like Biden wants something passed and he didn't want it to be sabotaged. They're so afraid that that package wasn't going to pass. Trump ended up signing it. Checks are going out as we speak, I guess. But there is this, I think, fear that the economic fallout is going to be so bad in the first part of the Biden administration that they wanted anything passed. They didn't care what was in it. And I think people like Krugman were doing the dirty work for him in some way.
All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with one final note. So lastly, Nancy Pelosi was elected to Speaker of the House again. There was, I think, ultimately five Democrats who voted against her. They are sort of so-called frontline Democrats who ultimately held out. Connor Lamb was one of them. There was Elise Slotkin, a couple others who are running in districts where I think they find being associated with Nancy Pelosi is highly problematic. There was in the sort of online left, I guess you could call it, a push by some people to get the progressives to hold out their vote in exchange for a vote on Medicare for All. That did not happen. However, apparently what was happening behind the scenes were that the progressives were negotiating and leveraging that vote to get a rollback on PAYGO. Quickly, because we only have a minute left here. PAYGO was something that Nancy Pelosi announced, I guess it was a year ago, that if they retook the House, that they would institute PAYGO rules, which essentially means any program, any new expenditures must be offset by cuts to other places or a raise in taxes, which essentially eliminates the ability to do anything progressive.
It's a mass poison pill for Medicare for All, Green
for everything,
deal.
Everything. And when she announced this a year or so ago, it was a nightmare. She is a big acolyte of the late Pete Peterson, and who was Nixon's a commerce secretary, and this idea of deficit fears and deficit hawks. It's absurd. We'll get into it more. However, it's part of a deal, apparently, to get progressive votes. There has been a loophole, essentially, asserted into the PAYGO rules, which is anything that has to do with, and I'll just read it here, measures to prevent, prepare for, or respond to economic or public health consequences resulted from COVID-19 pandemic, which is just about anything, and measures to prevent, prepare for, or respond to economic, environmental, or public health consequences resulting from climate change.
So those specifically Medicare for All, Green New Deal. There we go. Now we can have a vote on that. We couldn't do it before that concession.
You could have a vote. It just wouldn't mean
it wouldn't
anything.
Go anywhere. And right. You have to.
Well, you're going to lose it anyways. But but that aside, but
even worse,
we will talk more about this as the show progresses. And we will be back tomorrow. For those of you who are sticking around, we will talk more about that and more in the fun half of the program. Our number is 646-257-3920, 646-257-3920. We will take a quick break, head into the fun half. Just a reminder, it is your support that makes this show possible. A lot of people dealing with some economic hardship these days. And you know, we make it possible for people. We'll make deals with people because we don't want to cut anybody out, lock anybody out for lack of funds on this program. But if you're one of those people who are doing okay, 2021 New Year's resolution, support this program by becoming a member at jointhemajorityreport.com. Don't forget, check out, the Nomi Key Show. You can find it on youtube.com/the Nomi Key Show. She'll be back live tomorrow. Also, AM Quickie, every morning, 6-7 minutes, headline news, AM Quickie. You can sign up for it at amquickie.com. Find it on your podcast server, all free, of course. And we got merch, and I saw a prototype of the beanie, and it's good.
It looks good.
It looks good and feels good. Very exciting. You can go to shop.majorityreportradio.com. Don't forget, check out the Antifada. To patreon.com/theantifada, or you can go to, there's Jamie right now.
Hey.
Tell us about it.
Happy New Year. Well, Happy New Year. May this year be even better than the last.
Let's hope.
It's hard to do.
Yeah. Well, we got off to a pretty good start this year, or I guess end to the last year at the Antifada. We had on Mike Davis, legendary Marxist historian, activist, urban theorist. He is so cool. He seems like he knows everything. He's written some really great books, and he's a communist. So as you can imagine, we had a very cool conversation with him, looking back at the year that was. A lot of the things that happened this year are things that Mike Davis has been predicting for like decades now, but he takes no pleasure in being right about any of it. I asked him that. Patreon.com/TheAntifada. Check that out. Also, we're streaming on Twitch Wednesday evenings and Friday evenings now, and more TBA.
Great. 2 days a week. It's big.
Huge. At least.
And Matt, what's happening on your end of the world? Oh, we did a the one thing I did over break was to do a tribute show to Michael, specifically on his more comedic stuff, with David Feldman and Andy Kindler. That's what it was. And Matt was on there as well. That was fun, wasn't it, Matt?
It was a lot of fun, yeah. A lot of clips played. That's available now for patrons. But yeah, it was very gratifying, or not gratifying. I don't know, comforting. It was nice. It was nice to, you know, go over all that stuff with you guys.
Okay. And what else is going on in your media empire?
Yeah, so David Griscom and I continued the Left Reckoning through the break. So we did a new episode last week Wednesday. You can check that out. We're going to do another one on this week Thursday. In the meantime, I don't know if I'm going to do it tonight or tomorrow, but I'm going to listen to this Trump audio in full on the Left Reckoning Twitch stream. So we'll probably do that tomorrow, I think. So twitch.tv/Left Reckoning. And there was a new episode of Literary Hangover out for both public and patrons. So check that out. Look forward to season two. Wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, folks. 646-257-3920. See you in the fun half.
RM for it.
All right, folks. 646-257-3920. See you in the fun half.
Who sent us this?
Anarchy. Alpha males are back. Boy is back. And the alpha males are back.
Just as delicious as you can imagine.
The alpha males are back. Boy is back. And the alpha males are back.
Just want to degrade the white man.
Alpha males are back.
I take all of it in my throat.
Alpha males are back.
Almost says what?
The alpha males are back.
You are a madman!
And the alpha males are back.
I am a total cunt.
Can we bring back DJ Danner?
Yeah, or a couple of them. Just put them in rotation.
DJ Danner.
Well, the problem with those is they're like 45 seconds long, so I don't know if they're enough of a break.
That's fucking nonsense.
Hey, fuck. Reminder.
I do not have Parkinson's.
And the alpha males are
psych.
Fuck them. Fuck them.
Almost says what?
What?
Almost says what?
A hell of a lot of bank. Have you tried doing an impression on a college campus?
I think that there's no reason
why reasonable people across the divide can't all agree with this. Psych.
The alpha males are back, 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 back. And the Africans are black, 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 black. Africans, the alpha males are back, 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 back. And the Africans are black, 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 black.
See Donald Trump out there? Doesn't a little part of you think that America deserves to be taken over by jihadists? Keep it at 100. You can't knock the hustle.
Come on! Fuck them! Fuck them! Fuck them!
Things I do for the bigger game plan.
By the way, it's my birthday!
My birthday!
Happy birthday to me, Jew boy!
I have a thought experiment for you.
And the alpha males are back, back. Africans are black, black. Alpha males are back, back. Africans are black, black.
Come on! To pay the price for blasphemy around here.
I am a total
pussy, total, 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 pussy.